Anybody remember June 2006? Randomly? Do you guys remember it? We went somewhere together. Remember where that was? Nicaragua. Oh, yeah. We were on a mission trip, and there was a time, whether it was actually, we were down there during, unfortunately or fortunately, 666. And so whether it was on that day or not, we were brought to this lady, Ruby, and her name is Sister Ruby, and she was a prophetess. And some really, really cool stuff happens there, and she's in touch with the Holy Spirit in a way that is really remarkable. But sadly, a number of people went down to Nicaragua just to be able to hear from her. We went down, and that was cool, but that was bonus. We went down because we felt like God was calling us to go down there and be a part of ministry in Los Cedros and in Managua. And so Managua is the capital, and just literally on the wall or outside the wall of the city dump where many, many human beings live inside the dump and the refuse and all that kind of stuff was Sister Ruby's house. And we walked in her house, and immediately when I walked in, she put her hand on me and she did one of these. And I'm like, okay, here we go, right? You guys, she read my mail. She said, you need to be in readiness. You have something big that the Lord is going to do in you and through you, and you're contemplating it, and you can't be childish in it, and a number of things, you guys. And you wouldn't know this. The Bottoms knew this. We're really in the beginning stages of coming out here to plant this church. And I just was like, me? And I would be the lead, and what a weird situation that would be. And I was going back and forth. And she said some stuff that was just so profoundly personal that only Jesus would know it. And so I say that, and I bring up that story to ask you, was that a warning or was that encouragement to me? What do you think? It was straight up both, right? And for you today, are you going to be encouraged? Are you going to be warned? Or are you going to be both? Look, I love rap music. And I make no bones about it. I mean, there's so many things that I've been taught through what I would call Christian rap, people who love Jesus. One of them is a guy named Andy Mineo. He's Italian. He's from New York. He's got some attitude. And he says something along the lines of this. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And so today I'm going to talk about being ready and staying ready off of what Jesus has said. You've seen up on the board, you see it on your little, up on the board, that's so funny. This TV screen, that's a board, all right? Understand? Okay. Here's what I want to say to you. Jesus is unapologetically exclusive. He's made it really clear where life can be found, and it's in him and him alone. And all of us have tried to find it somewhere else, and we won't. And he's very, very clear because he loves us and he doesn't want us to have to guess and reach around in the dark like all of us will at some point. But he shows himself to us. And so please join me in looking at how he would talk about being ready and staying ready. And you can look at it as a warning or you can look at it as encouragement. You can look at it as both. How you receive it truly is up to you. And so we're going to go to Luke 12, 35 through 59. I want to try to give us some time to respond to God. And so I will share his word and I will share a little bit about what's happened to me as I've been reading this. I love you guys and I'm glad you're here. This comes off of Jesus saying, look, don't be anxious about a bunch of stuff. I've got you. I know what you need even before you ask me. I know that pagans need that. I know that you need that. I'm going to take care of you. And he says, look, you're in love with money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some of us are like, no, I'm not in love with money, but I am in love with comfort. I am in love with things. I am in love with people. So wherever your heart, or where your treasure is, there's your heart. Like, you give yourself to that. And so listen close today to an encouragement, to a warning, to how to get ready, how to be ready, and how to stay ready. Stay dressed for action, Jesus says, and keep your lamps burning. So this stay dressed for action is like, literally, gird your loins. Like, pull up that belt, get your big boy pants on. It's game time. It's time to go. Be ready. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. I think there's some really cool teaching on this, and I'd love to elaborate, and so I'll give you this much on it. Some people view this as the master was invited, and he went, and he was partying with them, and they didn't know when he was going to come back. They knew he was going to come back. And so be ready. He's coming back. And when the master comes back, you better unlock the door. Some people understand this, and I'm in this camp, that this master actually was at his wedding feast. And he was coming back, and here's what happens when you come back from your wedding feast. You got somebody with you. It's your bride. And so they really ought to pay attention to when the master comes back then, right? Hey, look, you leave me out in the cold, that's one thing. But when something's wrong with my baby, something's wrong with me. Don't leave us outside. And Jesus is saying, be ready. Be like these servants that knew that the master was coming back sometime, but not exactly sure when. So stay awake. Be ready to serve. You might remember, if you want to go back to Exodus, like, you're going to have to leave quickly. So take your robe and tuck it into your belt. Keep your sandals on. And you're going to have to take the food to go. Like, be ready. Jesus is warning and encouraging us to be ready. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. Wait, he was coming back and the servants are going to get served? Now Jesus is talking about himself. I don't know if you caught that yet, so let me just get right to the point. When else have you heard that Jesus dressed himself for service? Any other times come to your mind? Washing of the feet. Thanks, Pat. What else? Somebody else? Is that what you're going to say? Any other ones come to your mind? How about he who knew no sin became our sin that we might become his righteousness? We just heard that today. So that's the big one, right? He died for us. But one way before that. What is it? He put on flesh. He dressed himself for service. God became a man. You guys, this is consistent with his character. He's come to serve. And not just be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. So if he comes in the second watch, 9 to 12, or in the third watch, 12 to 3, and he finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Well, we didn't know you were coming back that late. Gosh, it was late. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. True, right? We have some officers in the house right now. Look, if I had got a heads up from somebody, hey, somebody's going to steal from you at 11:30, and they gave me this empirical evidence that I couldn't do anything but obey, I would have my friends that are officers be waiting for them if we couldn't already find them. Hey, we aren't going to go down like this, right? And Jesus is saying, look, if you know when the thief's showing up, it's not going to go down where you get stolen from. No, he's referring to himself as a thief. I thought Jesus was the one who came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. How could he refer to himself as a thief? Could Jesus ever come in and steal anything? Does he own everything already? I mean, what's he stealing? And is he a thief? Or would he come like a thief in an hour you don't really know about? You also, Jesus says, must be ready, for the Son of Man's coming at an hour you do not expect. Look, my wife's gone today, and we'll be back next Sunday. She'll be home probably around the time that we'll be coming home from church. Now, everybody in my family has a different view of clean than Kathy. Now, we know that she's going to be coming home. We don't know exactly the minute that she's going to come home, but we know roughly the time. Some of us, me probably, will be like, gosh, it's Saturday night. We better get on this. I mean, I like to clean as I go. I mean, in theory. But in practice, whew, it's a little challenging. Look, Kathy doesn't want to come home from vacation and recuperate in her back and see all the stuff that needs to be done. So we get to help with that. I love Kathy, but she's not Jesus. Jesus deserves us loving, following, waiting, longing, worshiping, wanting him. He deserves it. He's gonna get it. Every knee's gonna bow, every tongue's gonna confess, but we can choose that now. And so he says, be ready, because you don't know when this is going down. That sounds like you're trying to be scary or just honest. So be ready. Maybe right now, for those of you who are being encouraged and warned, convicted and comforted all at the same time, you're wondering, how? How do I get ready? How do I be ready? How do I stay ready? I'm glad you asked, because he answers. Verse 41 in Luke 12. If you don't remember, and if you haven't heard this before, we have Bibles for you underneath the chair. Some of you are like, I like the phone thing, and I like the screen, but I really want something in my hand. It's right there for you. Go ahead and have it. Literally keep it, if you don't have one especially. So Peter asks how, basically, as well. He says, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everybody? You know, it's kind of the question, like, should we be paying attention to this? What do you guys think? Before we read the answer, do you think they should be paying attention? I think it's for everybody, but it's specifically for his people. So listen close. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? He's asking the same question that Peter asked. Like, who is this for? Who is the manager? Who's the steward of what God has given? That the master will say, good job, and here's your stuff. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So doing what, you guys? Serving, doing his job, right? You know what you and I were made for? Worship. You know why missions exist? Because worship doesn't worldwide. It doesn't community-wide. So we get to keep telling the truth and worshiping and serving and ministering. It's a good job. And somebody gets to do it. Truly, I say to you, he'll set him over all his possessions. He's not just going to get his portion of food. The Father's going to say, look, you get to be a part of this whole thing. And we talked about that last week. It's the Father's good will, little flock, that you would be given the kingdom. Not, look, you sit over there and don't touch too much. You can play with that little porcelain puppy, but that's it. No, he wants the whole kingdom for all of his people. His rule, his reign, his way. But if that servant says to himself, my master's delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and he'll cut him in pieces and put him in with the unfaithful. Gosh, that took a turn. Huh. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Some people teach that this is separation from God forever. I think there's room for that. I also think that there's like discipline that the Father gives. And how do you cut them up in pieces and put them out? I don't know. I got ideas on that, but it's just ideas. I'll say this. God is saying, if you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, you're in trouble. You got a whooping coming. He even says, if you don't know what you're supposed to do and you didn't do it, you're going to get a whooping too. Gosh, that reminds me of my dad just giving me a spanking one time, and I'm like, Dad, what was that for? You know. No, I don't. What did you spank me for? He goes, something. I know you did something wrong. I'm like, that's not right. And yet, he was right. I did do something wrong. I just wasn't going to tell him what it was. Look, and the servant who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they'll demand the more. Look, God, you haven't come through for me. I heard you're good, and we sang some songs, and your goodness chases after me, and you're good through all the seasons and all that. I just don't really feel that. And so I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to try to get after it and do it and get what I have coming to me. And if I'm wrong, then I'll just have to repent when you show me that I'm wrong. You know, God's gracious. He might allow you to get away with that for a bit. But for some of us, we become hard-hearted because God is not the way we thought he was. I thought you were coming back. We want our reward. And you can name it, right? And we do. We name it and we claim it. Here's my reward. Good health. Here's my reward. Good job. Here's my reward. Good wife. Good husband. Good kids. Here's my reward. A good church. Man, somewhere where the preaching is bam, and the worship is bam, and the building is bam. Instead of boom. And yet, here's what Jesus is saying. I am the reward. And for some of us, we're like, yeah, we got him. We want other stuff. Is Jesus and? What if you and I served and stayed ready serving because we are so in love with him because he loved us first. And we're just responding to this kindness and this grace and this forgiveness and this compassion and this ability to do things that we couldn't do on our own. Later on, you're going to read at the end of this passage that people could not pay their debt. And so they stayed in prison till they could. Here's the sad thing about that. I'll give you the end right now. If you and I are trying to pay our own debt sin-wise, we can't. It's over. You can do all kinds of stuff, but it's like trying to run from one side of the Grand Canyon and jump to the other side. No matter how great your approach is, your ending's going to be the same as everybody else's. Unless somebody takes you across it. And that somebody's Jesus. So is he worth being ready with? And ready for and serving. So he talks about being ready and staying ready. Are you? Do you want to be? I would ask you that all the time, but I'm going to ask you right now in Jesus' name. Are you willing to stay in love with him? Because he never, ever takes obedience out of love. He actually says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Look, it is faith alone that saves us. It's not any action of our own. But faith is never all alone. Faith will be lived out in actions. You don't get saved because you did the actions. You and I get saved because of the faith that was given to us. But we act on that faith, church. Does this make sense? Does it make sense to the tune of it's an encouragement or a warning? Both. Well, you give me what I want, God, and I'll follow you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Listen to this. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work heartily. That means with all your heart. As for the Lord and not for men. Well, my paycheck comes from whoever. Well, your life comes from God. What you do is for him, no matter what it is. Knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. The inheritance is him. Do you want to know what lights up heaven? Anybody? Can anybody tell me they read the back of the book? What lights heaven up? Jesus! Come on, we're in church. It's okay. Jesus. It's his presence. So often, and especially this week, I've been like, oh, for my daughter and for my wife, someday their bodies will be perfect. I've longed for heaven this week in a way that I haven't in a long time. But heaven isn't my savior. Jesus is. And you know who we have today? Jesus. We can have heaven on earth today. Well, like no sickness at all? No. That's really cool, and we love that, and we can quote that out of Revelation 21, but the hope isn't that we won't be sick. The hope is Jesus, and we have him today. Is he your inheritance? Is he your reward? Is he worth serving? Is he worth being ready for? How do you get ready? Repentance. How do you stay ready? Loving obedience. When you don't lovingly obey, you have repentance. Thank you, Jesus. And we keep our eyes fixed on the one who made heaven and earth. Not focused on heaven and earth, but the one who made it. You're serving the Lord Christ. And so we got to flip the script here a little bit. You get to be ready and stay ready. And how is that? It's recognizing Jesus. And just so Jesus could give us a sense of urgency, that we could ask him, hey, how do you be great? And he says, serve everybody. Now the one who says serve everybody has something to tell you. He's ready. He's ready. Luke 12, 49 through 53. Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth. And I'm such like a dad with dad jokes. This part here, I could not get apart from. I came to cast fire on the earth and wood that it were already kindled. And then God came at me. I'm like, oh man, not just the joke part, but more importantly, Jesus actually wants to set this thing on fire. Oh, it's just like a holy fire and he just wants worship. No, he wants this done. He does not want things to go the way they're going. Well, then why doesn't he cast it? Because he's kind and compassionate and he wants people to repent. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it's accomplished. He's distressed until he dies. That's what he clothed himself in flesh for, was to become our substitute. He died as us. And he wants that to happen, and it hadn't happened to this point. He's like, man, I long for this place to be put right. And I'm the one to do it. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? Well, yes, I do. Because your angels announced your coming by saying, peace on earth, goodwill to men on whom his favor rests. But you're the Prince of Peace. You tell us to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Yeah, I do think you came for peace. And so you know what Jesus says? Nope. Let that sink in for a second. No? Wait a minute.
That's why this whole Bible thing is just so contradictory.
Or is it? Please listen close. No, I tell you, but rather I came with division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided. Three will be against two, and two against three. It sounds like a terrible basketball game. But it's not a game, it's real life. There's gonna be people that want Jesus and those who don't. And for those who want him, he's peace. And those who don't, he's division. Do you get this? You're gonna get what you want. Do you want Jesus? Or do you want him the way you want him? They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And so, well, that makes a little more sense. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. No, this is family. The most intimate relationships will be divided because some want Jesus and some don't. Well, I want him most of the time. Look, Jesus is ready. And he said, I didn't come with peace. I came with division. And so we're like, what? Wait a minute. Then you can think back. He's getting circumcised as a baby and yet everlasting God all at the same time. And this guy Simeon says he's going to be the cause of many rising and falling in Israel. And not just Israel, but America too. Do you want him or don't you? Because if you do, he's the king and you're not. He's the creator. In Jesus' name, I pray that we would let the creator show us how the creation is to be ready and stay ready. I'm going to ask Josh to come up and play a song, and we're going to finish this passage. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Lord Jesus, would you uncover in us what needs to change for us to be ready and to stay ready, that we would be repentant, that we would be admitting that we don't have all the answers, but you do, and you are the answer. I pray this in your name. Amen. Luke 12, 54 through 59. So he drops this bomb on them. Look, I came for division. I am going to divide people because they're not going to want me. And some totally are. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see that the south wind is blowing, you say, there's going to be a scorcher today. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? You know what herbs can heal and what rocks can do this, and what people can do, and you can tell when somebody's gonna lane change in life, but you can't read me? Quit pretending. I'll say it again, church, and I've said this so many different times, and it gets just aggravating for us, I'm sure. We know how to hear God because we know how to ignore him. Repent of ignoring him. He loves you. He wants you. He doesn't just think you're cute. He didn't just think you're probably the flavor of the month. He made you in his image and he wants you. And so he calls us out. And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I'll tell you, you will never get out until you paid the very last penny. Jesus is warning and encouraging. He is the one that came and paid for you. If you're like, nope, I want to take care of it myself, or worse, I don't have anything to take care of. Well, the accuser is right there. The magistrate is right there. The judge is right there. You're going to court. Hey, before you get there, repent. So you don't have to go, I was really nice to my neighbor and she's had issues. Is that good enough? I stayed married when I could have got divorced. I was a good boy. I was a good girl. No, you desperately needed me and you ignored me. You're in trouble. Look, the ministry of reconciliation that Josh shared for us is that we would be in right relationship with God, reconciled, paid for, brought back into his presence. And that with that ministry that we've received, we would go out and live that way. But for some of us, we're still trying to hang on. And so I ask you again and let you get a chance to pray. Are you ready? If so, stay ready. Stay focused. Stay blessed. Don't pick and choose when you're going to stand up for what's right and condemn what's wrong. We have a creator, and he says this is how life's supposed to work, and he's made it pretty clear. But some of us, we pick and choose. Some of us, when it comes to sexual immorality, we have some sexual immorality that we're okay with. Lust, maybe heterosexual sexual immorality, shacking up with somebody, having sex with somebody that isn't your spouse. I mean, hey, it happens. But if you're same-sex attracted and you act upon that same-sex attraction, you're actively homosexual, you're going to hell. Get out. Well, you cheated on your wife? Well, gosh, I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Somebody's a liar and a thief, and you're like, look, Jesus died for you. It's okay. You're loved and forgiven. Just repent and come back to him. And that's good theology. What if they robbed you? And they lied to you? Are you ready to tell them how amazing God's love and forgiveness is? Or should somebody else tell them that? Because I just wonder. Are you ready? Are you serving in a way that you're ready? If not, what needs to change? Are you worshiping God? Is he your God? These are all great things that while Josh plays music, you have a chance, I have a chance to say, uncover in me what needs to be uncovered. Help me to stay on the path that's narrow. Look, I should be really clear. I don't think people can lose salvation. I have dear family and friends that think we can. I think once you're in his hand, you're in his hand, but I think many of us think we're in his hand and we're not. And I think we can go out from underneath him and we can have severe repercussions. If we know so much, much is required of us. First, worship of him, and then service to others. Love God, love others, serve generously. We didn't come up with that. We stole it straight out the Bible. And we're not making it like Crosswater says this. We're like Jesus transforms us. So are you ready? Are you ready for him? Are you ready to serve him? Are you ready to be about him and his kingdom? Because though it's really exclusive, it's the most inclusive group of people you'll ever be a part of. It's all people who are broken. Man, woman, child, every ethnicity, every culture needs Jesus, including ours. No, it's true. Take time to pray. And just ask God to uncover in you what you know he needs to uncover, what he knows needs to be uncovered. Lord Jesus, for some of us, this 3 minutes has been the longest 3 minutes we've had in quite a while. We have a hard time slowing down. We have a hard time praying. We're distracted in our minds. We're distracted by people. We've got responsibilities. So, Lord, I pray that though this little taste of prayer was good, I pray that we would know that it probably wasn't as satisfying as it could be, and so we would spend more time with you. Not that you look at the amount of time that we spend and bless it, but that we actually would slow down and set apart time, set apart days, set apart our lives for you. And you would speak to us because you promised to. God, you're the creator. You know how we're supposed to work. This world has said we don't need a creator. We don't need somebody to tell us what to do. We need somebody to be nice to us. We need somebody to give us the things that we ask for. We need somebody to support us. God, I repent of changing my view of who you are to accommodate people. You're God, and you don't hate us. You love us, and you want us, and so you gave us life, and so may we live for you and take the counsel of your word and apply it in 2019, even though it was written 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Because you're eternal and everlasting, and you are timeless, and all those are very similar things. But you are here today. I repent of not letting you be the reward for serving. I repent for looking for something else. God, help us to be satisfied, indeed, completely overwhelmed with how awesome you are. And that we would live for you. That we would be ready and stay ready because you are coming back. And you come to us every single day in so many ways. May we not turn to the left or the right without hearing your voice and following in your footsteps, whether it's your word or circumstances, whether it's other people. God, may we be satisfied with you and not ignore you. God, thanks for loving us. I love you. I know many people here love you. May we show it by our worship and our obedience. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.